We hope you feel the liberty as soon as you walk through the doors of the house of God. There's freedom in this place. There's freedom from all of the things that you go through, all the things that you face in this life. You can clap your hands in this house and the person next to you is not going to look at you like you're funny. Stay here with us a little bit longer and you'll see somebody run the aisles. You'll see people even leaping for joy. You say, well, that's crazy. No, that's not crazy. See people win things in life nowadays, and whether it be like the lottery or whatever it is, they completely just lose their mind and they don't care what anybody thinks about it. Well, newsflash, we've won something here in this house today. Streets of gold, walls of jasper. The Word of God says He went away to prepare a place for me and you, that where He is, there you may be also. Took Him 6 days to create the world. He's been away for how long now? That's an awesome place that He's preparing. Mercy, it feels good in the house of God. I know you've been standing for a while. You're not going to be standing too much longer. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn quickly to 1 Corinthians 20, verses 6 through 7. I want to say thank you to the praise team for being right on point. I look out there and I see Sister Tabitha and Brother Robert. It's so good to have them back home. Our brand new newlywed couple. We'll be speaking at our first marriage retreat coming up here pretty soon. No, I'm kidding. All right. First Chronicles. Did I say Corinthians earlier? I did. First Chronicles. I'm sorry. That's my bad. That's why we write it down. Brother Soundman, help me out. He's already got it. And yet again, there was war at Gath, where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 24, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. That's terrifying. And he also was the son of the giant. But when he defied Israel, somebody say, but when? You know, in today's generation, we need to have an attitude of but when. We need to have that attitude of, you know what, enemy? Here's the line. I can put up a little bit of nonsense that you try to throw at me here and there, because I know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But when... but when you attack my family... but when you come after my mind... but when you try to make me not see the importance of things anymore... but when you try to take my joy, I'm already preaching. We need a spirit of but when. Where's the line? But when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimea, David's brother, slew him. The short war. Here shows up a giant. Not any giant. Son of the giant. Shows up. Faces this young man. Young man steps out on the scene and says, but when you did this, I was finished. And it doesn't say that they fought for hours upon hours and months, weeks. But it doesn't say that they bumped into each other and it was like a Hatfield-McCoy feud that lasted a good long time. He just simply said this, but when you defied Israel, and the next scripture says, the next part of it says, the son of Shimea, David's brother, slew him. Looking at me with that look on your face of, what do you mean, Brother Carson? I mean this. It's that simple. Have you had enough? Go ahead and be victorious. You had enough of the fight? Okay. Win already. You had enough waiting? Okay. Stop the wait. You want your joy back? Okay, get your joy back. You want your peace back? Hey, okay, get your peace back. You want your family back? You know what? Get your family back. You say, Brother Carson, I'm waiting. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This is how I fight my battles. You see, there's some things in this world that the enemy doesn't want you to understand. Doesn't want you to get. He thinks you got to wait. He wants you to think, take that back. He wants you to believe that you've got to wait. But whenever the men of God, men and women of God stepped on the scene, their scriptures are short. They saw a situation, they fixed it. They ran into a problem, they solved it. Daniel thrown into a lion's den, shut the mouths of the lion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked into a fire, guess what? They didn't die. Samson faced with more Philistines than ever before at a time that he was even blind. What happened next? He tore the house down. David, a young boy, steps on the scene with a toy in that time, a slingshot. All the armies of God hiding behind rocks. He sees a giant. He says, that's not supposed to be there. He dies. Do I need to go on? Esther's people were confronted with life and death, and she went straight to the king. She said, you know what? This doesn't need to happen. What happened? All of a sudden, the man that was trying to kill all of her family, all of a sudden was the one that was hung by the gallows. This is how I fight my battles. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My, my, my. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer right now. Let's ask God to speak to each and every one of us. Mighty God, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you, oh God, for your grace that's in this place, dear God. We thank you, dear Jesus, for what it feels like the very heavens have been opened upon Landmark, dear God. And I pray right now, dear Jesus, that your spirit would rain down upon us, dear God, in a greater way than it's ever been before, dear Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for two that are already going to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, because they have learned and realized this is how I fight my battles. God, I'm asking you, dear Jesus, to open our eyes, open our hearts, our spirits, oh God, to receive from you exactly what you want us to receive. And God will give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Everybody with a triumphant voice, shout, amen. God bless you as you're seated. When I received the Holy Ghost for the first time, I jumped into a big family. A family that will never leave me nor forsake me. When I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I signed the dotted line that till death do us part. I would never leave, nor would I look anywhere else. I committed to him. It is actually till death we meet again, though, face to face. We need to be in this for the long run. I don't know about you, but that is reason enough for me to stand strong and to hold on. Just knowing that he's here. Just knowing that my answer is on the way. Just knowing that I have the ability to call upon the name that is above every other name. I don't know about you, but that's reason enough for me to be here. We need to be in this for the long run. Minds made up, feet on the rock, and ready to go the distance. We need to get back our get up. True strength is a matter of inner holiness. It begins with and it extends far beyond the attitudes and actions we demonstrate to our peers in the church service. How long we pray, how loud our amens, how much we give in the offering, or on how many committees we have served has no bearing on spiritual strength. You can be in the house of God and sit there and shout with the loudest shout that you can do. You can sit there and you can clap your hands. You can give the most in the offering. But all that has no true spiritual bearing on where we are right now with God. Where we are right now with God is what stretches us past our zones of where we feel comfort. It stretches us past our comfort areas. And all of a sudden, we begin to reach out in a greater way. We begin to do things that we've never done before. You say, well, Brother Carson, I've never worshiped before. Right now is a good time to try. You say, Brother Carson, I've never shouted before. Right now is a good time to shout. All of these things, they encompass what God desires us to be. But we've got to understand, we've got to be more than an individual that knows how to clap their hands. We've got to be more than an individual that knows how to just give. We've got to be more than a person that knows how to shout hallelujah. We need to be what God has called us to be. We need to be overcomers. You shouldn't always be coming in the house of God with a frown on your face if you have the Holy Ghost. You shouldn't always be coming in the house of God looking like you've been defeated. If you've been baptized and buried in the wonderful name of Jesus, every now and then you need to shout, even when you don't feel like shouting. Spiritual strength is more than simple obedience and good behavior. It's also a continual growth in the spirit. But understand this, with every new level is a brand new devil. But the only way that you're able to grow stronger is to push yourself to man's limit and then give it to a limitless God. Matthew 28 and 18 says this. Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Isn't it amazing to know that we can call upon the one that has all power? You're not hearing me. The one that has all power. I'll go a little further. That means power over sickness. That means power over backslidden spirits. That means power over disease. That means power over addictions. That means power over afflictions. That means power over your mind. That means power over crisis of identity for the people that are in this generation here today. That means all power. Do you realize that when you call upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says that demons tremble? You want to know why they tremble? Because you just unlocked something that is greater than anything this world has ever known. When David's nephew was faced with a giant, the giant had full intentions of beating him and obtaining the victory. But when Jonathan came to the battle, he brought a family affair. And that is the title of this morning's message, A Family Affair. He had giant slaying skills and his bloodline. I'm trying to get someone to understand that this, the giant didn't know that the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. Parenthood, motherhood, brotherhood is just like a seed. You sow it and God will grow it. When you come to your battles, just know that the future is at stake. The enemy has tried to put blinders over top of families in today's generation to try to make you think that it is all about you and what you are doing. It matters what you're doing because you and you alone are the one that's in the balance of making it to heaven or not making it to heaven. I'm here today to serve notice on the enemy that we understand that we are fighting for more than ourselves. We are fighting for a generation. We are fighting for our young people. We are fighting for our children. When I come to the altar and I begin to pray, when I'm shouting, when I'm worshiping, when I'm magnifying God, I'm not just doing it because it makes me feel good. I'm doing it because I want Cooper, my son, and I want Bristol, my daughter, to see that this is how Daddy fights his battles. And if it's worked for him, my God, it can work for me. We are raising a future, and we are raising a generation of overcomers. My question to you is this. If David wouldn't have stepped on that battlefield, would Jonathan have been successful in his time? No, I don't believe it. But David stepped on the battlefield, and even as a young man, he recognized something. That I've got to do this. And it's not just about me. It's about them. The armies of God have got to understand that we come here to fight, not to lose, but to win. You need to know that even though your family might not be in that pew beside you right now, that as you worship God and as you magnify God, you are fighting. Fighting a battle that is a family affair. My son might not be able to worship the way that I can worship, but that's okay. I can worship for him right now. My daughter might not have a full understanding of what God wants her to be in the future, but that's okay. I know what God wants me to be right now. And so it's a family affair. I'm fighting my battles for my children. I'm fighting my battles for my family. I'm fighting my battles for their future families. This is a family affair. When we come to the house of God, I said at the very beginning, you have become part of a family. You have become part of a giant family. When God filled you with His Spirit, you became part of a family that is global right now. You became part, the person sitting next to your brother, the sister sitting next to you is your sister. You know what? When you hurt, we hurt. When you're going through your trials and your tribulations, we're going to fight our battles together. We're going to pray with you. We're going to fast with you. We're going to last with you. We're going to make it with you. Why? Because this is a family affair. We have a goal in mind, and that is to make it to heaven. But I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to see you there. I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to see my children there. I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to see your children there. How many here recognize the importance of the fight? How many here recognize the importance of the battle? How many here recognize the importance of making heaven your home? And let me say this. How many here want your family to go with you? That's why it pains me to hear people say, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. It's my business and no one else's. It doesn't matter because the very battles that you overcome are the ones that your future family members might come to as well. But the good thing will be that when they get there, they will be on familiar ground. Jonathan stepped on this battlefield. That giant stepped out in front of him with possibly with a big old grin on his face thinking, you're such a small man. I've got this. I'm going to do this. It's all fine. It's all good. I'm fine. I'm going to be victorious. Just a small young lad over there. And Jonathan all of a sudden just with a smirk on his face said, I remember how to do this. You don't know who I am. Maybe in the background, I like to read between the lines, but just imagine this, if you will. Jonathan standing there, this young man, facing this horrifically looking giant. Did y'all catch that? Six fingers, six toes. This man was a mess. The Bible says Jonathan standing there. Can you imagine? I bet you there were some other individuals standing there, and they probably bumped up with the giant and said, hey, bro, that's David's family. That's David's family. Jonathan stood there. He thought, say when. And all of a sudden, he just simply did what his family had done before. You see, the battles that you face right here and right now, the battles that you go through in your lifetime, are not just battles that you're struggling to beat. It's not just a challenge for you. It's not just a revelation for you. It's not just a victory for you. It's a victory for your future. It's a victory for your children. Because when they get there, they're going to say, this is that thing Mama faced. She beat it. I can do it. This is that thing Daddy faced. He beat it. I can do it. So you want to know why it's so important that you step outside of your comfort zone? It's because outside of the comfort zone is where God's zone is. Out from behind the rocks is where God's zone is. I just feel something in the Holy Ghost right now. You see, the rocks in David's time where the men and women of God were hiding during the battle can be compared to the pews in today's generation. We come to battle, we come to fight, we come to war. And the people of God too many times are... Is he shouting? No, I'm good. All of those armies, all of those great men, all of those warriors that had been victorious so many times before, all of a sudden hiding because one situation's facing them. One man with a big mouth, bottom line, that's all it was. A young man stepped out and said, you know what? Is there not a cause? The greatest words I believe possibly ever spoken by a young man. Is there not a cause? When you recognize the purpose of the cause, when you recognize your cause, then all of a sudden something just begins to happen inside of you. He recognized a cause. He didn't know Jonathan at that time. He was just a kid. He didn't know the ones that were going to come after him. He was a kid. But he knew one thing. There was going to be something coming after me. The world doesn't stop here. The world doesn't stop with you. The world doesn't stop when your time comes. There's going to be children. They're going to have kids. There's going to be later family members. There's going to be, you know what? This church isn't going to stop inside these four walls. There's going to be another building. Listen to me now. Hold on. I know you get excited when we start talking about new buildings, but let's not get all hyped up right now to where you can't hear what I'm saying. Who are the people that are going to fill that building? There's going to be another building. Yeah, there's going to be another sanctuary to seat over 1,000. Yeah, that's coming. That's absolutely happening. Now, my question to you is this. Are your children going to be there? Are you going to be there? That choice is yours, just like I said earlier in the Word of God. Anytime any great man or great woman of God stepped up to a battle, the Bible says they faced the battle, they won, bottom line. There wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They fought it, they won. My question to you is this, are you ready to fight? Are you ready to fight? How many here want to see family members sitting beside them? How many people here want to see their family members baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus? How many people here want to see your children living for God? How many people here want your moms and dads living for God? All right? Is there not a cause? What is your cause? And when you find that cause, it will cause you to go to the battlefield every time there's a war. Not just when it feels comfortable. Not when you just got time. No. All the time. Every time the doors of the church are open. Why am I here? Because I have a cause. This is how I fight my battles. Family ties and commitment is a blessing. It should be. The more, the merrier. Look at David's wife. Because of her actions, she was cursed not to be able to have children. David came home. He was shouting. He was rejoicing. He was excited about the glory of God coming home. David's wife stuck her head out the window. What are you doing, David? You're embarrassing me. The Bible says that all of a sudden the Lord shut her womb. No more children. Can I say this about the house of God? If we ever get to a position here at Landmark that we are ashamed to worship God, then we won't bear children. If we ever get to a place in our life, thank you, brother, thank you so much. If we ever get to a place in our life to where we are ashamed to clap our hands, we are ashamed to leap for joy, we are ashamed to shout hallelujah, and we're just waiting on our neighbor to do it before we do it, that way we fit in and we're comfortable. No, 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 come on. If we ever get to a place, then we won't be able to bear children anymore. I'm not talking about having kids physically. I'm talking about children coming through the doors. That child could be 40 years old. That child could be 60 years old. That child could be 70 years old. You know what makes them a child? They don't have an understanding of what the presence of God is all about. They don't have an understanding of what God wants them to do. That is why they are a child. But when they come in here, all of a sudden they're born again and they begin to grow and they begin to get older. They begin to have knowledge. They begin to get understanding. And then all of a sudden God develops something. I'm telling you right now, Landmark, we have got to be a church that is ready for war. We've got to be able to jump up to our feet, not because the preacher says, please stand to your feet. We've got to be able to clap our hands, not just because the speaker says, if you will, clap your hands. We've got to be able to shout hallelujah, not just when the preacher says, shout hallelujah. We've got to be able to run the aisles, not when there's just a good song playing. We've got to be able to say, this is how I fight my battles. Why? Because this is a family affair. Young people, I wish you'd hear me right now and get to your feet. Yeah, that's right. I'm asking you to get to your feet. Why? Because you've got to learn how to fight your battles. I'm sorry, I get a little bit excited here. Why? Because I understand what happens when you fight a battle. I remember the times where me and my brother, well, all of a sudden we were confronted with my dad having cancer. We got to places in our life to where we did not know what to do. One time we were in the house and all of a sudden everybody's crying, everybody's worried. We had a doctor's appointment coming up for dad and we were always stressed about that. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, mom steps out and she's crying. She says, I don't know what to do, Carson. I don't know what to do, Cody. I don't know what to do. Talking to dad. And she said, the word of God says, stand upon the word. Let's just do this. And she laid the Bible down and my dad stood upon the Bible. I hope this doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. I really do. Just following what the Word of God said to do. We was in a place where we had nothing else. We didn't know what to do. We were at a low point in our lives, but we still understood that if we were going to have a miracle, it was going to come from this. And she laid that Bible down and my dad walked over and he stood upon the Bible and my family, we wrapped our arms around him and we said, God, let a miracle happen! I'm here today to tell someone that I don't know if it was that Brother Bolden or I don't know if it was all the prayers of all the saints, but here today, my dad is standing about 15 years without cancer. You've got to learn how to fight your battles! Did we step outside of our comfort zone when we did that? Yes, we did. Why? Because I've never been to a conference, Brother Bolden, where I saw a preacher stand on a Bible. I've never been to a church service where I saw a preacher standing upon a Bible. But what happened? We read the Word of God. We got an understanding of the Word of God, and we said, let's give it a try. So I say all that to say this. Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? Why don't you try coming to the house of God on a Saturday night when it's prayer? Why don't you try coming to church on a Tuesday night when we're having Bible study night? Why don't you try coming to church on a Sunday night? Why don't you try coming to a youth service on a Friday night? Why don't you try helping out when we have Beast Feast and when we have all this? Why don't you give it a try? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the enemy's tried to tell you, you don't need to. The enemy's got you a little bit confused in your mind because he's saying, you don't have to. Why? Because he understands that if you don't do it, you won't gain an understanding. You don't gain an understanding. You don't realize your cause. You don't realize your cause. You don't know how to fight. I'm getting deep. You don't have an understanding. You don't know how to fight. You can sit down. You go to any military base. I wasn't in the military, so I don't have a great knowledge of it. But I would imagine just from seeing and hearing things, if you go to any military base, and all of a sudden, they do the Pledge of Allegiance or National Anthem, all of a sudden, they begin to stand to their feet. All of a sudden, they begin to place their hands upon their heart. I would imagine that if you walked up to one of those Marines and grabbed their hand and tried to pull it away from their heart, chances are you would find yourself on your face while they're holding their heart. Why? Because they realize their cause. They have a purpose. And when somebody recognizes their purpose, when somebody recognizes what they're fighting for, you ready for this? You can't peel them away from it. You can't peel them away from it. They hold their hands on their heart for the national anthem just like we all do. We as saints of God hold ourselves to the house of God because we recognize the importance of it. The music begins to play. The preaching begins to happen. And if the enemy, for the saints of God, hear me now, if the enemy was to come up and say, "Ah, you don't need to do that," really quickly, just like in those verses of those triumphant people, the enemy's on his face. We're done. We win. Still standing there. But there's people out there, Brother Bolden, that the enemy can come up and he can say, "No, you don't need to do that." And they're like, "Okay. Okay. You don't need to be there. Okay. Okay. You don't need to pray like that. Okay." Why? Because there's got to be a deeper understanding of the cause. There's got to be a deeper understanding of why we do what we do. There's got to be a greater love for family. There's got to be a greater passion for His purpose. There's got to be a greater desire. Am I talking to somebody or am I just talking to myself right now? I'm talking out of experience. When you recognize the purpose, there's nothing that can pull you away from His presence. I'm talking about what causes revival. I'm talking about what fills the house of God. I'm talking about what God desires and what the enemy hates. Family ties and commitment is a blessing. David's wife, Lord, closed up her womb. In today's generation, what was a curse to David's wife would now be a blessing to many. The enemy is trying to destroy our veterans because he knows that if you are that strong, how strong are your kids going to be? He knows that if you're that capable, he knows that if you gain an understanding that early, oh my goodness, what are your future generations going to be? We can't let our blessing become our curse. Two things that happened with Achan. Go with me here. Brother Salman, Joshua 7, 21 through 25. I hope I'm not taking too long. "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them." Coveting, meaning I desired them, I wanted them, "and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent." Why'd he hide them? Because he understood he shouldn't have. The man of God told him, "You're going to go over here, you're going to fight, you're going to be victorious, but don't you dare take anything that they have. We're going to fight in this world a spiritual war. We're going to go up against the enemy each and every day, but we got to understand that when we are victorious against the enemy, we don't need to take what he has and take it back home with us. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent." He hid it because he knew it was wrong. "And the silver under it." Next verse. "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent." Joshua heard about it. The man of God heard about it. It was hid in his tent. "And the silver under it." Next verse. "And they took them out of the midst of the tent." Fourth word. Them. Everybody say them. Wasn't just him. Them, the family. "They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord." What is that? What is this all meaning? That's meaning this. See, the man did it in this verse. He took it. The children didn't do it. The wife didn't do it. The man took it. He took something from the world and he coveted it. He wanted it. He wanted to hide it because he knew that, hey, when nobody's looking, I'm going to put this on. That garment's beautiful. When nobody's looking, I'm going to use this. I'm going to be like this. But then when everybody's around, I'm going to hide it again. All of a sudden, the man of God comes up, takes them out of the tent, places them before all of Israel, the children of Israel. What is that? The church. You see, when you begin to dig into the things of the world and covet after the things of the world, the enemy's going to place you in front of people and make a mockery out of you. "And Joshua and all the children with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons." Somebody say his sons. "And his daughters." Somebody say his daughters. "And his oxen and the donkeys and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor." Little field trip. "And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned what? Them with fire. after that they had stoned what? Them with stones. Achan created two dilemmas for his whole family. Number one, he wanted a wedge of gold, and that wedge of gold represents the world and prosperity. It is what mattered to him the most. God's people were in the battle against the very things of the enemy, and Achan wanted what the enemy had. Number two, he wanted their clothes. He stole a wedge of gold, and he took a vesture of clothing and hid it under his tent. He wanted to use the garments when God's people were not looking. Achan wanted to look like the world. When judgment fell from God, it not only fell on Achan, but it fell on his family. Why? Because it's always a family affair. You can say, do as I say and not as I do, but ultimately your family will suffer the consequences because it's a family affair. Because ultimately one person in the family compromising will cause complications in the whole family unit. Don't let your blessing become your curse. You get a pay raise, but you don't pay your tithes. You have children, but you don't raise them in church. You have perfect health, but you give it to drugs. You have education, but you think you're smarter than God. Your position gets greater than your possession. These are just a few ways to become like Achan. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. I don't want to have what Achan had. And if you have come to this house looking for a financial blessing, God can do it, and he will. He's done it countless times for others. But I have something from God that can carry me through longer than a $100 bill. I have baptism of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he is my rest when I am weary. He is my strength when I'm weak. He picks me up when I'm down. This world is not looking for what they already have. They desire something new, something greater. But while the world is looking at us, we should not be looking back at them and desiring. You say, oh, Carson, it won't affect me. I have been in this church for my whole life, and I have been here for years. I don't know when I should know, and I do know when I'm being affected. No, you don't, because you don't even recognize yourself right now making excuses for doing what you're doing. The enemy has already snuck up on you and got you, and now he is making a mockery of you. The wages of sin is death. Ultimately, you will die in your sin. God's people will not compromise, and we will not sell out. My relationship with God is worth more than a wedge of gold and garments. There's some people in this house today that if you possibly couldn't find new clothes, or if you couldn't find something that looked just right, you wouldn't be here today. It's time to recognize our priorities, Landmark, because it's going to affect the whole family. You say you don't have a family. I'm here to tell you today and to serve notice on the enemy this. You do now. Welcome to the family of Christ. There's reason why when we come to the house of the Lord, I love to promote worship. I hope I never see the day when God's house is turned into a concert hall, a place of excitement, but no true heartfelt worship. When my family was shaken, we learned that things move when you praise God in the midst of circumstance. It's a family affair for me, and it will be for my children and their children as long as I can help it. You have faith in your bloodline. Have faith in your victory. You have giant slaying abilities, Landmark. You have giant slaying abilities. All the way from Thomason Street when there was 12. We've been slaying giants. All the way from the rental property over by DT School. We've been slaying giants. All the way from the brick building across the way. We've been slaying giants. And devil, we're still slaying giants today. When Jesus was crucified and the blood flowed like a river, that is where it began. Something greater, something stronger, something wiser. And if you had the Holy Ghost saying of God, you have that same blood flowing through you. Where are the Joshuas of old? And as I close with this, as we all stand. Where are the Joshuas of old? He raised his spotted hands in an old and feeble age and pointed a feeble finger and said, as for me and my house... Everybody say that. As for me and my house. Say it again. As for me and my house. Say it again. As for me and my house. It starts with you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, if you want to serve the other gods on the other side of the flood, go ahead. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He told his family what they were going to do because it's a family affair. He was probably also looking at his kids and saying, you're not going to hell from under my roof. We train our kids at a young age, don't touch fire. Why? You'll get burned. If your friends run off a cliff, are you going to run off a cliff? How many have heard that? Raise your hand. Don't do this, don't do that. Why? Because you'll get hurt, you get killed. It's a family affair that still flows today. Son, you need to go to the house of God. Why? Because if you don't, the enemy could kill you. daughter, you need to pray. I've seen you've had a lot of fun today. You've been playing all day, but now it's time to wind things down. It's time to pray a little bit. We need to go in the living room as a family unit. We need to pray. Why, Mom? Why, Dad? Why do I need to pray? Because if you don't, the enemy, he could kill you. Well, all my friends are doing it. All my friends are not going to church. If your friends ran off a cliff, would you do it? We see the physical side of it. We see the pain, we see the blood, we see the hurt, we see the brokenness, we see the possibilities on the physical side of it. We don't want to lose any family members, but think spiritually now. Do you want to stay in heaven for all eternity and not have them with you? Do you want to go to heaven for all eternity and not have them with you? I know I've been talking a lot about the family. I know I've been talking a lot. I'm the youth pastor. It's constantly on my mind, young people. It's constantly on my mind, their future. It's constantly on my mind, their plans. And it's constantly on my mind what God wants to do with them. I know that in this group of young people right here, that there are ministers. I know that in this group of young people right here, there are home Bible study teachers. I'm not just talking about one or two a year. I'm talking about there are young people here right now that in the future, they God willing, they recognize their purpose and they recognize that there's a cause. I believe that there's young people in here right now that will be doing conferences on just how to teach home Bible studies because of how successful they were. I believe that there's Sunday school teachers in here that are not just Sunday school teachers for about 5 or 10 children. I'm talking about there's Sunday school teachers in here that in the future, God willing, if they recognize their purpose and if they recognize their calling, they're going to be standing on a platform like this, speaking to children in a crowd like this. Brother Carson, that's crazy. No, that's not crazy. We have been slaying giants from the very beginning. There's not a giant that scares us. But it'll only happen when we recognize the cause. When we recognize that it's a family affair. It's a family affair. I'm not doing this by myself. I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing it for my future. I've got to do it. I've got to give it everything. I got to man up when people say that you can't man up. I got to do this. I got to act like a lady. Yeah, you got to. Because there's an enemy out there that's coming after your soul. There's an enemy out there that desires your soul. But here's the great news, and I'm wrapping it up with this, I promise. Here's the great news. You say, Brother Carson, I just feel as though the enemy's got a great grip on me right now. I'm going to go ahead and inform you he doesn't. How do I know? You ready for this? This is great. The enemy wouldn't allow you to be in God's house if he had a grip on you. Where you at? Daniel, oh, they're going to throw me in the lion's den. I think I'm going to die. There's lions down there. Nah. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, these altars are open right now, but this is who it's open to. It's open to whosoever wills. It's open to those that recognize that this is a family affair. It's open to those that are saying, you know what? I recognize my purpose. I recognize my cause. Come on, don't wait for somebody else. I said your cause, not theirs. Your cause. We're going to do it all over again.
This is how I fight my battles.
We're going to do it all over again.
This is how I fight my battles.
God, I've walked into the armory.
This is how I fight my battles.
I'm going to put on the whole armor of God.
This is how I fight my battles.
I'm going to put on faithfulness.
This is how
I'm going to put on your direction, your guidance.
This is
I'm going to put on your purpose and your plan. Not what they think, not
this
what they believe I should be or what I should do. But God, what you want, what you desire,
this
anything
is
you
how
want.
I fight my
come on, don't
this
look
is
around.
How I fight my
it's your battle. It's your fight.
This is how I fight my
where's the Davids?
This
where's the Samson?
Fight my
where's the Esther's?
This is how I
where's
fight
the Joshua's?
This is how I fight.
Come on, fight your battle. I'm not going to fight it for you. I can't fight it for you. Don't look at me waiting for me to do something for you. Lift your hands to heaven and call upon them.
It may look like I'm surrounded.
surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Come on with everything that's within you right now.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like
altar workers, help us pray. Find somebody, help us pray.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. But I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hallelujah. Clap your hands once again. I'm going to end it with this, and then you'll be dismissed. My dad prayed for his mom and his dad for over 30 years, believing God to baptize them, fill them with the Spirit, fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And time after time after time, us as a family would go to their house, we would attempt to pray, and it would just be shut down by the family. He didn't want it. He didn't desire it. But we didn't stop. We kept on keeping on. We prayed, prayed, prayed over 30 years. I say all that to say this. On my grandmother's deathbed, on my dad's side of the family, my grandmother's deathbed, my dad walked into the hospital room with my mom, with tears in their eyes, knowing that We are human, so I recognize what those tears were about. I knew that in my dad's mind, he was saying, God, I've been praying for so long. Is she going to pass and this just isn't going to happen? God, what's going on? I watched as my mom and my dad laid hands upon her and began to pray just like we had done for 30 plus years. As they laid hands upon her, they began to pray. God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She passed away. My grandfather's time came. Again, praying. Came time to where the family was called in. We were standing there right beside his deathbed. Same tears that flowed from my dad's face during the time of his mother, I saw him flowing again. But there was something different about it. There was a remembrance of what God had done for his mom. So there was absolutely no lack of faith. He began to pray again, right there on the spot, still with a little bit of fear. Began to pray. God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there on his deathbed. I say all that to say this. You're going to fight your battles. Some of us are going to get our miracles that we've been praying for possibly in another 2 seconds. You might walk out the doors of the church, Sister Sandy, and family members might call you and say, hey, you know what, Sandy? I felt something today and I'm going to be at church tonight. That could happen. That could happen. I've seen it. Some of us might pray and it could be 30 years. But let me ask you this. Do you think that my dad regrets praying those 30 years? To that last day, all of a sudden, laying hands on his dad and seeing him being filled with the Holy Ghost. Dad's going to walk into heaven. This family's going to walk into heaven. And my grandfather and my grandmother are going to be standing there at the gates waiting on us. Do you think that he regrets praying for over 30 years? No, not one bit. So I'm going to tell you this right now, Landmark. You keep pursuing and you keep fighting. Because one thing that's different about us from the enemy is that he's already knowing he's going to lose. But we are going to win. We're going to win. But don't miss a day at the battlefield. Because that day could be your day. If David wouldn't have showed up that day, I imagine the armies of God were praying, send somebody. And all of a sudden, here comes a young boy with some food. If he wouldn't have showed up, the battle wouldn't have been won. Don't miss a day on the battlefield. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Come back tonight. Bring a friend, a family member. Let's pack this place out. Pastor's going to be here tonight. Love each and every one of you. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Brother Yance, wherever you are, sir, can you help us out with the baptism?